Our reading today is from Isaiah 58, chapter, verses 9 through 14. If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets to live in. If you refrain from trampling the Sabbath, from pursuing your own interests on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways, serving your own interests, or pursuing your own affairs, then you shall make delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride upon the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of your ancestor Jacob, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Word of God, word of life. The second reading is Psalms 103, verses 1 through 8. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works vindication and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Word of God, word of life. Please rise for the gospel acclamation.
Before I read the gospel, I want to just share one tiny little thing for us to keep in mind. So this story, which is often called the story of the bent over woman, she's not just hunched over, right? In the original language, it suggests that she was doubled over or folded in on herself. So this is a severe, debilitating condition that she has been living with. So just keep that in mind as we hear our gospel reading. The gospel according to Luke, the 13th chapter. Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. I'd like you to use your imaginations with me for a minute and imagine the scene that we just heard from our gospel reading. Imagine that it's the Sabbath, and the entire village is making its way toward the synagogue for worship. Everybody's walking, right? And this crowd of people is making its way towards the house of the Lord for worship. And in the midst of the crowd, you can see a woman stooped over, moving much more slowly, maybe getting jostled about as people try to work their way around her, maybe casting her dirty looks for being in the way. But she keeps going, slowly, painfully, as she makes her way to the synagogue. When I imagine this woman persevering and maybe sort of shuffling her way to the synagogue, I imagine her singing quietly to herself, or maybe chanting some words from one of the Psalms, maybe from Psalm 103 that we just heard Ron read a section of. I imagine her singing quietly as she slowly makes her way to worship. Bless the Lord, my soul, and bless God's holy name. Bless the Lord, my soul, who leads me into life. For 18 years, she's been stooped over like this. She's learned to identify people by their dirty feet and their dusty sandals instead of by their faces. She's had groups of children taunt and mock her when they see her shuffling down the street, their parents whispering about what sins she must have committed to have deserved this. And yet, with her eyes cast down and her body doubled over, she once again makes this painful trek to worship. As she does, I imagine her chanting, singing to herself the promises of Scripture, willing herself to believe in a God of healing. It's a routine, something she does every 7 days, despite her pain, even when it feels hopeless. She goes to the synagogue and she sings and she prays and she gives thanks to God. But on this Sabbath day, unlike all the others, there's a man in the synagogue who sees her, a man named Jesus. And he really sees her. He doesn't avert his eyes from her hunched over body, but he looks at her and truly sees her. He sees her pain, her suffering. He sees her need. And then Jesus calls her over to him. Who knows what she must have been expecting? Probably to be made an example of, like, look what sin can do. But instead, Jesus calls her over to him and talks to her of freedom. And even more shocking, he touches her. And with his touch, everything in her life changes. She stands up straight for the first time in 18 years. And she sees the face of Jesus. No longer staring at feet and sandals, she stands up and sees his face, full of love and compassion. She looks around her and she sees eyes looking at her and mouths dropped open in shock. She sees wonder and amazement and anger and fear. All of these things on the faces that she had not seen for so many years. Her entire perspective is changed. And she's overwhelmed. No longer singing that mournful song of desperate hope, she begins to overflow with joy and gratitude and praise. She has been touched and healed by God's love for her. Hallelujah! Thanks be to God. She wants to tell everyone that God is good and gracious. God can save you from the grave. God can lift you up out of the pit, she says. Just look at me. Me of all people. What mercy. What love. God can change your life. Overwhelmed and overjoyed, she can't help but sing. Hallelujah, I sing your praises, and my heart is filled with gladness. Hallelujah, I sing your praises, and my heart is filled with gladness. And the synagogue leader sees this, but he can't see it at all. So caught up with his efforts to control and regulate holiness, so caught up with his preconceived and limited ideas as to how God blesses and who God blesses, he can't see God at work right in front of him. And so he interrupts the woman's song, and he drowns out her praise because it's not the right song to sing, and she is not the right person to sing it. But then Jesus steps in. He takes the woman's hand and he presents her to the crowd. This woman is a daughter of Abraham, he tells them. She's a child of the promise, one of God's chosen. You want to treat this blessed one worse than you would treat your animals? And in that moment, everyone gathered there can suddenly see her. For the first time in 18 years, they see her as Jesus did. As a beloved child of God, as a precious daughter, as someone loved and cherished by God. Their entire perspective is changed. And with this new vision, their eyes are opened. Their eyes are opened to their own value and worth. No matter how stooped they may be or feel, no matter how the world may have treated them or mistreated them, they suddenly see that none of that matters. None of that can change their true identity as children of the promise, children of the Heavenly Father, children of God. And the woman's song of praise begins to well up and overflow in the crowd until they are rejoicing and praising God. Hallelujah, we sing your praises. All our hearts are filled with gladness. Hallelujah, we sing your praises. All our hearts are filled with gladness. They rejoice and praise God together. This crowd of ordinary people from a different time and a different place than ours, but full of all of the same hurt and the same heartache as our world. A crowd of the poor, the sick, the depressed, the grieving, the the outcast, the dysfunctional. Many of them have been overlooked or ignored. All of them children of the Most High. All of them loved by God. So open your eyes and see, and know that you are one of them. You are precious and loved. Jesus has reached out and claimed you and named you as son, as daughter, as precious child of God. Lift your voice and sing and share your song. Share your story of God's love for you. How has Christ reached out and touched your life? Tell the world, because in hearing your story and hearing your song, maybe you will change someone else's perspective. Maybe they will come to see, will come to know that they too are loved. Hallelujah. Please stand and sing.